Now continuing on page 3. By making 1 Peter 1:1 vague, obscure, or unclear, prepares the reader to think that Satan is after him personally. You see, that's what they're going to try to teach you, and they teach that Satan's after everybody, which he isn't. Now, come to a further example. Notice Young's analytical concordance, and that's the best common concordance that you can get. The verb to roar. Here you see that there are three different Greek words, all used by translating them roar. The first one, Luke 21:25, the waves roaring. The next one, lion roaring. And the next one, as a roaring lion. Okay, now notice this. In 1 Peter 5:8, I'll read it that way. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now that's the way they have it in the King James. But notice that they're using this bottom word, number 9, in front of it. They're using that for the word roar, which we'll show you in a minute about that. Just hang on a minute. Now we go to the verse in Luke, and they've got the waves roaring. That, of course, is a totally different word. That's up there, number 7. You can cross-reference these if you want. Then we come to Revelation 10, as when a lion roareth. And that's number 8. In other words, they have three different places that they use the word English roar for three different Greek words. Now, you'll never tie Scripture together as long as you're going to do that. And that is a favorite pastime of the King James and the others as well. Now, look at the 1 Peter is to Jewish believers to start with. Up there and above, we had shown you that they have not translated it correctly. Way at the top of the page, to chosen resident aliens of dispersion, diaspora in Greek. Diaspora are the Jews in diaspora. And that's proven in the dictionary, no problem with that. Now go way down to the bottom. 1 Peter is to Jewish believers. And next on page 4, considers Israel's opponent as a howling lion, seeking whom to swallow. We're going to show you that 1 Peter 5 verse in a moment. Did God use, you answer this for me, did God use three different Greek words to mean roar, as in King James, because he did not know the difference? Does that make sense to you? That God didn't know the difference and he got them all mixed up? The consistent translation uses three different English words. There's no problem. But they just put them all the same way because they aren't paying any attention. They don't believe it's inspired word of God at all. So they're influenced. Now, come to the top of page 4. Remember, 1 Peter is to Jewish believers, not Gentiles. How do you know? Because of that word diaspora, the dispersion. The Jews were dispersed. In the times of Jesus, they were already dispersed all over the Roman Empire in lots of places. Note the serpent influence on some translators. Here's what they did in 1 Peter 5:8. Now you know what we're going to tell you it should be, and you've already seen it down here at the bottom and have explained it ahead of time. You won't get it. Well, let's do it this way. Hold your place at the top of 4 and go across to page 5. And there on page 5, right in the center almost of the page, right by the word anti-Semitism, because that's what this is about, go to 1 Peter 5. There it is, verse 8. This is consistent. You be sober, plural, these are the Jews. You watch, your opponent, a slanderer, is walking around as a howling lion, seeking whom to swallow. You'll see about that in a minute. Now, that's the way it is, really, in the Greek text. 9. Whom you withstand, solid ones in the trust, knowing absolutely the same of the sufferings to be accomplished in the future in your brotherhood, that's the whole Jewish brotherhood, in the world. It's a warning of this hatred of Israel that's going to be called anti-Semitism. It wasn't back then, but you know it that way now. And this was to be accomplished on the Jews all over the world. Now, go back on page 4 and notice what they have done. Again, I'm only going to read the underline. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, King James, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now the bottom line, afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See, that's openly made so that it can be like handling it for New Testament Christians, which it isn't. But watch the Living Bible tear it all up. Be careful, watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion, looking for some victim to tear apart. Stand firm when he attacks, trust the Lord, and remember that other Christians, see what he's doing? All around the world are going through these sufferings too. Now that's a total lie, and it's a deliberate translation, mistranslation you have to put it, of the Word of God. So it leads poor Christians that are always on the flight, scared to death of the devil, chasing him all around, or Satan, whatever you want to call him. And so this is the problem that is created by the translators who do not believe the Word of God. Look at today's English version. Be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams about. By the way, you'll notice that the Living Bible changes it to Satan. Without the Greek word Satan at all. It is the word devil, and that's correct in the others. They all use devil. Roams around like a roaring lion. They all do the same thing, looking for someone to devour. And then where it's underlined further, your fellow believers in all the world are going through the same kind of suffering. You see, it's totally false. It's making fellow believers, New Testament Christians. And 1 Peter is not to New Testament Christians, but to the Jews in dispersion. New International. Your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In the next part of it, your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. You see, they've taken away the whole future idea. The whole thing is distorted. Now, obviously, I can't go very slowly here, or you'll have so many tapes you won't know what to do. So I'm only giving you this. You'll go back and read them and study them if you want to know. Come to the Phillips Modern Translation. For your enemy, the devil, is always about, prowling like a lion, roaring for its prey. And then the next part of it, for all your fellow Christians in other parts of the world. See? That's all false. That's not true. And that leads people and leads the leaders to make a great issue about how you have to fight Satan, all of which is totally false and brings in a lot of money. There's no question about it if you want to pay into that kind of diatribe. Now, go on further. The next one, Revised Standard. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, same way. And go down to the bottom, is required of your brotherhood. Now, they've got this okay, brotherhood throughout the world. Now, the brotherhood is the Jewish brotherhood. Now, going down to Jerusalem Bible, there he says, your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to eat. All right, now, the next one says, your brothers all over the world are suffering the same thing. Well, that's not true. That's not what he said at all. Go across the page to your consistent and the bottom line again. To be accomplished in your brotherhood in the world. It's a future anti-Semitism that he's warning of. New English Bible says, your enemy the devil, like a roaring lion, prowls round looking for someone to devour. Next part, your brother Christians are going through the same kinds of suffering while they are in the world. That's false. So you see, it's misleading because you don't think of Christians as being Jewish. You think of Christians as being Gentiles. And so it's a putting in a misleading sleeper because that word is not in the text. It's added word, and they're adding to the Word of God as they go to make it come out the way they like. Now, look at the Britannica article right there on your left, and you'll see why I've translated what I've done. Britannica. Cats are noted for their purring when apparently content, for their snarling, howling, or spitting when in conflict with another member of their kind. The larger forms, especially the lion, often roar, growl, or shriek. Usually, however, cats are silent. So the adversary, I colored him in the reddish marker that we've got. Now look at Book of Knowledge. Here's what it says. Like other carnivora, they have hooked claws, not nails, and teeth, which tear and chop or shear like scissors, but do not masticate, chew. They do not chew. Added to that, it has the most stupendous voice in nature. Its ground-shaking roars unnerve animals so that they are often incapable of fleeing. In general, the lion gains its food by its stealth and power rather than by its agility. This huge cat sometimes goes abroad by day, but it is chiefly active at night. Now, those are significant attributes of the lion. Now, underneath the lion, the adversary, the howling lion, note these few characteristics of lions and compare to lions in Scripture. The consistent translation is a word-for-word translation. Does it make any difference? All right, now let's go to the top of page 5. Okay, Amos 3. Hear this word that Jehovah, he's talking to Israel now, has spoken against you, O children of Israel. You're not left with any doubt. You don't take this to you. This is Israel. Against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt. Now, there's no question about that. He didn't bring you up out of the land of Egypt if you're a Gentile. If you're Jewish, then you're included here. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. You think God isn't a favorite? Sure, he has placed favorites. He loves Israel. Therefore, I will visit upon you all your iniquities. Shall two walk together except they have agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a lion, young lion, cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is set for him? Shall a snare spring up from the ground and have taken nothing at all? Shall the trumpet be blown in a city, and the people not be afraid? Shall evil befall a city, and Jehovah hath not done it? Now watch, and I've boxed this. Surely the Lord Jehovah will do nothing except he reveal his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord Jehovah hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? Now, go to the middle. See up the top? Your plural opponent, that is Israel's. Now a howling lion is in the presence of another lion. Remember, that's what it said back in the Britannica? For the snarling, howling, or spitting when in conflict with another member. And the adversary is in conflict. And so the Word of God uses in the New Testament the word to howl. All right, here we go, Hosea, Old Testament. Now, all Old Testament passages here, I've used the American Standard Version. I have no better to use, and I cannot handle the Hebrew, so I'm really up against it. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I cast thee off, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as a Boim? My heart is turned within me. My compassions are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man. Now I've underlined it, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not come in wrath. They shall walk after Jehovah, who will roar like a lion. There's the word there. For he will roar, and the children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will make them to dwell in their houses, saith Jehovah. So here's the future prophecy of gathering Israel, and the adversary is a howling lion. So 1 Peter 5:8 technically is sound. You be sober, Israel. You watch, Israel. Your opponent, Israel, is slander, is walking around as a howling lion, because you're God Jehovah is the roaring lion who's defeating him, seeking whom to swallow, because he does not devour. And so that's important, because we don't want that devour word in here at all. You, as I've already told you, the word devour in the Greek New Testament isn't eating at all. Now, let's go to the next line. How much authority does the adversary have? How much does he really have? Okay, let's look. He has a lot of authority, and he's not defeated by any manner of means, and that's what's really causing a lot of problems. Look at Luke 22 in the consistent, 28. But you yourselves are the ones having remained and still remaining continuously with me in my trials. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the apostles. And I myself am covenanting to you a kingdom. That is the apostles. He's covenanted a kingdom to them, according as my Father himself covenanted to me, in order that you, his apostles he's talking to, might be eating and you might be drinking on my table in my kingdom, and you might yourselves be seated on thrones judging the 12 tribes of the Israeli. So they're all going to be here. That's why they pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, the adversary demanded you, plural, to sift as the wheat. In other words, the adversary has the privilege of demanding the apostles to sift as the wheat. Just exactly as he had the opportunity to sift the Lord Jesus Christ in the 6 trials, which we've covered elsewhere, he has the right to sift the apostles. Verse 32, but I myself petition concerning you, Peter alone, singular. Notice what the consistent will show you. In order that your trust, Peter's trust, might not be disappearing, and at what time, having turned around, you yourself fix firmly your brothers. Isn't that clear? Sure, it's clear. Now, look at Amos 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among the nations. So just as God was sifting Israel, so the adversary demanded he have the right to sift the apostles as this wheat, as the rest of the wheat. Like as grain is sifted in a sieve. He's telling you it's grain. Yet shall not the least kernel fall upon the earth. So all these Jews that have been slaughtered, they're not gone. They'll be back. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us. Terrible suffering is warned of ahead. Now, I put the note here, the teaching dictionary, and note the plural, you, all the disciples. If you believe that the Bible is God's word, compare these two passages in the consistent. Here, these have to do with Jesus' trials. I don't like the word temptation. It's the word trial. And there are two series of trials, one in Luke 4 and one in Matthew 4. In each of them, there are 3. So the commentators say there are only 3 altogether, and they're just not in agreement, and there's just something wrong with them. Well, that's a fine attitude, and you won't learn anything that way. There are 6 of them. That's why they're different, and that's why they don't agree. And I'm going to just point out this one particular item in these trials. Again, the slanderer is taking him alongside with himself into a very high mountain. This is Matthew 4. And he's pointing out to him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I want you to get that. And he is saying to him, I shall give to you all these things if, having fallen, you will worship to me. Now, underneath, I've got world and glory and a little arrow pointing up to that passage. Now go to Luke 4. And the slanderer, having led him up into a high mountain, he pointed to all the kingdoms of the inhabited earth for him in the appointed time. And the slanderer said to him, I shall give to you quite all this authority and their glory, because it has been and is still given over to me, and to whom, if I am willing, I am giving it. Now, there's a vast difference between these two. He didn't offer Jesus the authority over the world in Matthew 4, but he did over the kingdoms of the inhabited earth. And you'll see in a moment, the inhabited earth is the Roman Empire, of which he had the authority. He operated through the Caesars, and he had the opportunity of, what the Bible tells us this, there's no problem, we'll come to it in a minute. He actually had the chance to throw the Christians into dungeons and prisons and so forth. And the adversary, the slanderer, promised to give Jesus all that authority that he had, and because it had been given to him. And when Jesus did not accept it, then he went looking for another earth champion. And he found that other earth champion in Muhammad, who did accept his offer. And we've touched that in an earlier discourse. We may touch it again now, but let's go to page 6. Compare these 8 translations. Here they are again. Now, all of these take some time, but they're absolutely necessary for you to see that when you read the English translations, you're not reading the Word of God. It does not exist in the bookstores in the common translations. They do not, any of them, as I've shown in Apologetics 39. If you want more proof, I've gathered it together for you. So the King James Version says this, "And the devil, taking him up unto a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." But that doesn't say world. "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, unto whomsoever I will, I give it." Look at the Living Bible. Now here again, he tends to substitute Satan for devil. "Then Satan took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world," all wrong, "in a moment of time, and the devil told him, I will give you all these splendid kingdoms and their glory, for they are mine to give to anyone I wish." Now, down to today's English version. "Then the devil took him up and showed him in a second all the kingdoms of the world." It's wrong. Look at the New International Version. And you see there again, in an instant, all the kingdoms of the world. It's wrong. And so you see, you can do the rest. Phillips Modern English, Revised Standard Version, all of them have world in here. And it is not world. Look at the Jerusalem Bible. Same thing. "Then leading him to a height, the devil showed him in a moment of time all the kingdoms of the world." And so the New English as well. Now, how'd they get that way? Number one, they probably looked at the passage. You see, this is Luke 4. Go back to page 5. Notice that Luke 4 is there with Matthew 4. Now, they probably saw that it showed world in Matthew 4, so the helpful little translators decided they'd make them both world. And, of course, that's exactly what the adversary wanted them to do. Satan did that on purpose. So they didn't see what was going on. You'll see where it's going to lead in a moment. This word is extremely important. The King James never translates the word oikoumene correctly. Never. Now, here's the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. "There is within the New Testament no disputing of the political," there it is, "oikoumene, understanding of the Roman Empire, not even in Revelation." Now, here's another source, Origins. Greek oikos has a derivative, oikein, and goes on to inhabit, with the past participle, oikoumenos. There it is. I've underlined it. "Whence, oikoumene, the inhabited world, with its own adjective," and look at this, "ecumenical, worldwide, especially concerning the church as a whole." There you see the origin of the word ecumenical. And the dragon did not want that known. And so he altered these men, and every one of them took oikoumene out. And yet the Theological Dictionary says it is very plainly the Roman Empire. The Origins book says it's plainly the inhabited world or the inhabited earth. And so this is the problem. You see what they've done. Now, look at the King James alongside of it. "There from a concordance is oikoumene." There's the Greek word. And notice that they've got world all the time except one, Luke 21:26, which is where they have which are coming on the earth. And that is wrong. That's wrong too, the things that are coming on the inhabited earth, the Roman Empire. Now, that's going to become very important later. I'm trying to show you that if you keep altering the Word of God, you don't have anything to study, really. So coming down underneath to the picture, and we've got the fact of the woman is sitting on the sixth mountain. The sixth world power is Rome. We've studied that elsewhere. And he's going to move over to the seventh world power. And the Roman Ecumenical Assembly is that seventh power. We'll prove that as we go. So the slanderer plays with the translators. That's what he does to alter the thing so that it'll come out the way he wants it to come out. Now, top of 7. How does Satan exercise his authority as a howling lion, page 4, Satan can only be one place at a time. Now, we have an apologetics on Satan, and you can see this. He can only be one place at a time. Now, I want you to look at Revelation 12 and compare some scriptures. And it came to pass a war in the heaven, the Michael and his angels to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels. And he was not strong enough, neither was their place still found in the heaven. And the dragon, namely the great one, namely the serpent, you've seen this before, this you're going to see often, namely the ancient one, the one being called a slanderer, also the adversary, namely the one leading astray the total, there it is, inhabited earth, that's who he was leading away, was cast, he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast with him. The word demon is not used in the King James. The adversary has concealed demon activity, as well as his name, Zeus. Now go to Luke 10, 17, in the consistent. But the 70 returned with joy. He had sent 70 out to preach the gospel, saying, Lord, even the little demons are themselves being subject to us in your name. Now, that little demons we're going to look into, and some of you already know from Discourse 5, these little demons are angels that work with Satan. And we'll see that in a few minutes. But he said to them, I was observing the adversary as a beam of light having fallen out of the heaven. Now, we'll take this later, but I do want to point out to you that Jesus put a very strange statement in there. And when he heard that the little demons, Satan's angels, were subject to him, then he said, I was observing the adversary as a beam of light, and Satan is a beam of light having fallen out of heaven. And he inserts it right at that time. We'll take up the reason for that a little later. Acts 17. But Paul, having been stood in the midst of the hill of Mars, was stating, Men, Athenians, I am observing you according to all things, our most dreading of demons. For going through and observing again your venerated objects, I found also an elevated place in which had been inscribed to an unknown God. What therefore you are showing piety, being ignorant, this I myself am proclaiming to you. Now this is a very, very important verse, for it uncovers satanic activity. And notice the word, it's very carefully chosen by God. He says, Men, Athenians, that's verse 22, I am observing you, plural, the people there, according to all things, our most dreading of demons. Now you'll see what Satan did with the translators on this. But go across, before you go any further, go there to the New Analytical Greek Concordance, where it says, there you have this word, it comes from to fear, and demons, reverencing the gods and divine things, religious in a bad sense, superstitious in the New Testament, careful and precise in the discharge of religious services. Now I want to come back at that point of starting on lesson 2. Thank you.